Hello, hockey fans, and welcome to the Hockey News Prospect Podcast. I'm your host, Evan Fraser, and I'm here with prospect guru, prospect expert, prospect aficionado,
prospect fan.
Prospect fan, that was the worst one. Ryan Kennedy. Today on the show, we're going to be spotlighting Jesper Kotkaniemi, who's up for the 2018 draft, of course. Team spotlight is going to be on the Philadelphia Flyers. But let's start off with headlines. And, of course, the CHL Russia series is the thing that's dominating right now.
Yeah, it's always a fun event just to get a sense of where some of these players are, you know, coming into the World Juniors. And in particular with Russia, you know, they tend to bring over a lot of players that have something to prove, and two in particular have really stood out to me so far. Andre Altibarmakian.
That's a mouthful.
Yes, he stuck the landing, folks. He is the Chicago Blackhawks prospect, and somebody that I've been following for a couple of years, not just because of the long last name that makes him stand out, but I thought he might get drafted the first time around. He was actually passed over, and the Hawks picked him up in 2017, but just a really smart and skilled player. Doesn't have a ton of size, kind of a mid-sized guy, I think he's about 5'11", but he's really been making things happen up front, and sort of has a partner in crime in Mikhail Maltsev, who's a big-bodied New Jersey Devils pick. They've been great on the penalty kill. They've been great in all situations, really putting up offense for the Russians. And, you know, because they are 98 birthdays, the Russians tend to go with veteran squads. I think these guys will be two of the names that North American fans might not know as well as some of the kids that are playing over here, but I think they might be kind of integral.
Mikey McLeod was returned back to OHL Mississauga. He didn't get to see any action with the Devils because of an injury. Are you surprised he didn't get to see any ice?
Maybe a little bit, but he had a knee injury. He had a surgery, and he just came off of it. And I think it's the right play because the Devils are going pretty well right now. They just got Travis Zajac back, so they got a full complement. And for Canada's World Junior team, this is really big. You know, McLeod is a center, has some experience from last year's squad, even though he didn't have a very big role. But with his speed and his tenacity and the fact that he has some pretty nice offensive skill as well, I think he can be a very vital cog down the middle for a team that has some nice elements already. You look at Sam Steele, you look at Robert Thomas, who had a great summer with Team Canada. This just makes the Canadians that much stronger to know that McLeod will be available to them.
Colton Point.
Yeah, Colton Point, kind of a fun story. You know, the Colgate University, the Raiders, we don't talk about them that much. You know, they tend to be more of a veteran squad. But Colton Point, he's a Dallas Stars draft pick, big goaltender, and he is red hot. You know, I would say he's one of the top netminders in all of college hockey right now, playing very well for Colgate. And he's got a good pedigree. He played junior A hockey in the Ottawa area, won a title with that team, Carleton Place. And this is his sophomore season with Colgate, but really now he's getting the starter's minutes, and he's seizing that role.
Let's stick with the NCAA for our interview this week. Jim Montgomery, coach of the NCAA's Denver Pioneers. Ryan had a chance to speak with him earlier this week, and as a bit of a treat, he played on a line with Paul Kariya, who was just inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame, and he shares his thoughts on that.
I'm here with Jim Montgomery, the coach of the Denver Pioneers, the reigning NCAA champions. And Jim, first of all, thanks for being here.
Well, thanks for having me on your show.
No problem. Now, there's a lot of good Pioneers, obviously. I want to talk to you about a couple of them that some of our NHL fans would be interested in, because there is some good draft ties here. Starting with Anaheim Ducks pick Troy Terry. I like to call him the real American hero, which everybody will remember from the World Juniors. Troy has had a fantastic college career already. Just sort of curious in what you wanted to see out of him this year. What were some of your sort of goals for Troy, and how do you feel he's played?
Well, he's taken his game to another level. He's just more dominant, more consistently than even he was last year when he was terrific for us. And what in particular that we had discussed that, you know, to take his game to another level was to get better offensively off the puck. I mean, he's such a good puck carrier and distributor and sees the ice so well. But he needed to get better offensively, finding holes, soft spots on the ice, and working on his one-timer release. And besides that, it was more through the neutral zone. He's such an elite stick handler, of him becoming more of a give-and-go player through there, so that when he gives the puck and gets it back, he even has more time and space to use his elite skill.
Interesting. Now, another one of your top scorers is Florida Panthers pick Henrik Borgstrom. And it's sort of interesting because when the Panthers drafted him, a lot of people were sort of like, who's this Henrik Borgstrom kid? But obviously, Denver had some idea when he was recruited. What did you like about Henrik as a potential pioneer, and what do you like about him now?
Just his creativity. His ability to see things that other people don't, as far as making plays, putting pucks to space, keeping people off balance. I mean, it's unreal. He's not only a creative passer, but he can shoot the puck from three or four different angles. So goalies never get a read on his release, which makes him, that's why his shooting percentage is so high. And now, as a second-year player, you know, he's over 200 pounds now, so physically he's taken that step. And the most important thing for him to be ready for the NHL, which I think he's going to be ready real soon here, was for him to become an everyday professional person. He's a happy-go-lucky kid, and sometimes wasn't thinking any further than his next meal, and now he is. He's preparing the right way, and you can see the difference because consistently he's a threat every shift.
Excellent. Now another player that's been drafted and has been very good for you for a couple of years now is Dylan Gambrell, the San Jose Sharks prospect. What can you say about his game?
Well, you know, he's just an elite hockey mind, and he's a student of the game. He works at his craft. You know, he's someone that has gotten better every year. And I give all three of these young men that we've talked to, they came back to college because they wanted to get better and they want to have the opportunity to step right into the NHL. And Dylan's really improved his game in all areas. He's really, you know, he's our number one most reliable center all over the ice. And he has the ability to make plays, and he makes the people around him better. So his leadership skills with winning a letter this year has really come to the forefront as well.
And you've had a pretty impactful freshman on the back end in Ian Mitchell, the Chicago Blackhawks pick. Why do you think Ian's had so much success so far?
Two reasons. He's a really talented young man, and then his work ethic. You know, you combine his heart and how he his will during games to get better and compete, and then you combine it with his ability to learn and adapt quickly is the number one, the two biggest reasons why he's such an impactful freshman already.
Excellent. Now, we're recording this sort of earlier in the week, but the podcast goes up sort of later in the week, so the signing day window will have been closed by the time people listen to this, but I'm interested just in, you know, that window where players are signing their national letters of intent. If you could just quickly take us through, you know, what that means, because we hear about these kids committing to schools, you know, when they're 13, 14 sometimes, but the national letters of intent, that's a different thing altogether, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And student athlete cannot sign their national letter of intent until they're in their last year of high school. And the first period that opens up is a week in November where we can sign those last year's high school students, and that makes it binding. Now they are officially obligated to attend school at your university, and you have to honor that scholarship that you've offered. And the people get confused because they do see all these verbal commitments, and how that works is schools had to to begin recruiting kids earlier just because of trying to get the elite players in North America over the CHL. We had to start recruiting earlier, which led to these early commitments, which are verbal. And, you know, 80% of those times, it really works out well for both parties. But, you know, as when people are, when they're 15 or when they're 35, in 3 years, things change.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes there are controversies where players will switch up at the last second. How do you feel about the process as it is?
You know, the process is what it is. You know, I think the most important thing is while you're recruiting, and I'm just looking at this from Denver's perspective, you got to build relationships and you got to continue to build those relationships and make them better throughout. And the easy way to do it is in constant communication through phone calls, text messages, emails, and face-to-face visits.
Fair enough. Going back to the on-ice product, you know, Denver is the defending champion. What's it like going through the schedule when you do have a target on your back? Everybody obviously wants to knock off the Kings, and you're in a pretty tough conference as it is already, but how have you felt so far this year about being the reigning champs?
Hey, I mean, you know, first of all, I don't see it as trying to be the reigning champs. You have so much turnover in college every year. You're losing at least 25% of your lineup, if not more. So we're trying to be the champions this year, just like the other 59 schools are. But we do notice that teams are supercharged up to play us and try and, you know, take us down. And we've been number one in the country except every week except one. And it's a great challenge for our team because I do think we have an elite college hockey team right now. And if we make the strides to get better while we're being challenged throughout the year, it's only going to toughen us up when the NCAA tournament comes around.
Right on. And finally, you were a pretty good college hockey player in your own right back in the day at the University of Maine, and one of your teammates was just enshrined in the Hockey Hall of Fame, Paul Kariya. What do you remember about your time with Paul with the Black Bears?
Well, I just remember two things. Is the first day he stepped on the ice, it was the best hockey player I had ever seen. His elite skill and creativity and speed were something I had never seen, and now I knew now what superstar hockey players, how talented they were. And then the second thing was how selfless a teammate he was. He made everyone around him better, and he didn't care about all the attention he was getting. He cared about us as a team getting better and his impact on how he made us better.
Excellent. Well, it was a legendary squad, and good luck the rest of the season, Jim. I really appreciate you doing this.
Hey, thank you, Ryan. Anytime.
Our 2018 draft spotlight this week is Jesper Kotkaniemi. Ryan, tell us about Kotkaniemi and what people can expect from him.
Well, this is a really interesting player because first impressions weren't so hot this year. He played for Finland at the Ivan Hlinka, and frankly had a really rough tournament. You know, I was just talking to a scout. He was like, yeah, he was kind of terrible. His skating was all over the place. And at the same time, you had another 2018 prospect, Rasmus Kupari, who was excellent at the Ivan Hlinka. And, you know, a lot of people have him, you know, quite high in the draft. But talking to this scout, he likes how Kotkaniemi has progressed since, and he actually favors him over Rasmus Kupari right now. So there's a lot of potential there, and it's a kid who's already 6'2". He's got a good solid frame, and you know, there's some nice elements to his game. So don't worry about the first impressions. There's a lot more to come.
What are the pros and cons of his game?
Well, when you're looking at Kotkaniemi, a lot of it is like his hockey mind. He's a very smart player, and he's got some nice skills, and he knows how to execute them. His skating is a mixed bag right now. His speed is very nice, but his control, his turns, they're a little bit messy. So those are some elements where obviously scouts are going to want to see some growth as the year goes on. And like I said, because of the frame and because, you know, he does have speed, I don't think it's a grand concern, but it's always nice to see where there's room for improvement. On top of his skills, he's a character guy as well. You know, talking to the scout, he'd say, I have no doubts that this is a good kid, you know, plays the game the right way, that sort of thing. So that's sort of just like another feather in his cap. And then, like I said, with the cons, it's just clearing up the skating a bit.
Where would you expect him to fall in the depth chart on Team Finland for the World Juniors?
Well, I would say that he is a possibility for the team, but I don't think he's a guarantee. You know, the Finns have some pretty decent depth, and tournaments like this, you know, you obviously favor older players. You're looking at 19-year-olds. Having said that, you know, the Finns, it's going to be competitive, and they have taken younger players in the past, so I think he's an option, but if he gets cut, I would understand, and what you would be looking at that point is him having a starring role at the World Under-18s in the spring.
How's he doing in league play this year?
Well, that's the best thing right now, is that Kotkaniemi is off to a very good start in the league, Finland's top circuit, playing for Asatpori, same squad that Joel Armia played for. Kotkaniemi has 9 points in his first 22 games, which is very good for a junior-aged player. Just to contrast that with Kupari, Kupari has 4 points in 17 games for his Finnish squad, also playing in the Liga. So you can sort of see the numbers we're talking about with these high-end guys, because I think they'll both be first-rounders. Maybe one of them's in the top 10, depending on how things shake out, but those are the numbers so far. And again, talking to a scout, he's very happy with the way Kotkaniemi has been playing since club play began.
You mentioned Kotkaniemi's a first rounder, but you know, if the draft's tomorrow, give me a slot.
I'm going to say 15 right now. Yeah, I think he's sort of like a safe middle of the pack guy, and you know, there might be teams that value him a little higher, but again, you look at comparisons, and you know, if a team favors Kupari more, then does Kotkaniemi slide a bit because other teams after that have other needs that they want to meet or other favorites? So I think 15 is a nice kind of like conservative number.
Our team spotlight this week, and oh boy, get ready, the Philadelphia Flyers, what a cadre of prospects this team has. Let's start off with some of those defensemen that they've got ruminating in the AHL right now, some really tantalizing names.
Yeah, certainly. And it's amazing because they've already graduated guys like Robert Haig, and Travis Sanheim is making his first NHL game appearances this year. But they still have Philippe Myers and Samuel Morin marinating with Lehigh Valley. And it's just such a nice advantage that the Flyers have. And, you know, they went through some injury problems. And Morin, I was talking to Flyers GM Ron Hextall the other week, and they were actually going to call up Morin to fill a spot, but then Morin got banged up, so they had to go another way there. But, you know, with Myers and Morin, they both have great size. They're both like 6'4", 6'5", maybe even 6'6", in Morin's case. And, you know, they give you different looks. Myers, very smart, good puck mover. With Morin, more of a shutdown guy. He's got some great snarl to him, but, you know, he moves pretty decently as well. Sticking on the theme of size with Lehigh Valley, they have a couple of forwards that are interesting too this year, both coming over from Europe, Mikhail Vorobyev and Oscar Lindblom. They're having some pretty decent results in the AHL. There's some older players that are getting kind of the top assignments there, guys like Mike Vecchione and Danek Martel. But Vorobyev and Lindblom, some pretty decent numbers. And what I like is that these big-bodied kids are getting a taste of the North American game really for the first time, and I think it's a nice kind of trial by fire, playing on the smaller ice, you know, doing those 3 games in 3 days, those bus trips, just getting used to what can be a more aggressive game over here. So I think it's a nice spot for those kids, and they're two to keep an eye on in the future.
Let me double back on Philip Myers for a second, because I find Philippe Myers, because I find it fascinating that a guy who, was in our top 100 prospects under 21 in the world, top 100 players 21 and under in the world, and in a couple issues back, how does a guy like that go undrafted and eventually sign as a free agent?
Yeah, I mean, just a bit of a late bloomer and under-the-radar guy with Rouen Aranda in the Quebec League. And, you know, good on the Flyers for snapping him up basically as soon as they realized how good he could be. You know, we saw him at the World Juniors with Canada after that, and were it not for a concussion, I think he would have, you know, maybe been a bit of a difference maker. I mean, it was tough because they played for the gold medal game. They lost in the shootout. But, I mean, Myers had been very good for them. And, you know, it just goes to show you that scouting never stops. And you got to keep watching these kids because sometimes, like, they take that motivation of not getting drafted and they push with it. And with Myers, I think he did a great job of just playing his game and showing up, and the rewards were his.
That's such a crafty little pickup by the Flyers, because I mean, if you take into consideration our future watch list from the start of the year in yearbook, Patrick established NHLer now when he's healthy, Sanheim off the NHL, so that moves Myers up into your number one slot as your top prospect for a guy you didn't even spend a draft pick on. That's incredible. Let's look at some of the Flyers players playing in the major junior right now, and let's start in the OHL.
Yeah, a couple of players that I'm keeping an eye on. And again, I can't touch on everybody because the Flyers have made so many picks. I actually did a column about this for the next issue of THN, so watch for that, folks. But Morgan Frost playing very well for Sault Ste. Marie. The Greyhounds are always a very solid squad, and they kind of do it as a group, I would say. There's always like a good combination of players there, but Frost is certainly one of their best. Just a smart kid who can make plays. And he's continuing the growth that we thought he would have in his draft year. Isaac Ratcliffe, somebody to watch as well, playing for Guelph. This is another big kid, you know, talking about 6'5", over 200 pounds already. Guelph got off to a tough start. I thought they would be better at the beginning of the year because they brought in a lot of talent after being really bad last year. But it took some time to gel, and now we're seeing it. And Ratcliffe is starting to put together some multi-point games. Obviously, he has great reach with his frame and some nice offensive hops. So good to see him back on track.
Carter Hart over in the Dub, healthy again, and if you're a fan of junior hockey anywhere in Canada, you got to be rooting for this team because a lot of Canada's hopes at the World Juniors is going to be pegged on him.
Yeah, I mean, goaltending has been a bit of a struggle for Canada for some years now, but I thought Hart played very well in a difficult situation last year where the leash was very short and Team Canada went to Connor Ingram a couple of times, but in the end it was Hart in the crease when they needed him the most. And I think having those experiences last year will really help Canada this year. You know, for me, Hart is the starter, and then you have Michael DiPietro, the Vancouver pick, with Windsor. I think he slides in very well as the number two. But, you know, Hart, started off the season with mononucleosis, which is always tough for a junior player, but came back, played in the CHL Russia series, seems like he's 100%, so that's great news for Canada. And I mean, something to keep an eye on is, does he finish the season with the Everett Silvertips, or does he get traded to a contender? Keep in mind, Regina is hosting the Memorial Cup this year, which means two WHL teams are going to be in the field. So if someone's looking for one of the best goaltenders in Major Junior, Carter Hart is certainly the guy.
Let's skip over to the Quebec League and talk about German Rubtsov.
Yeah, he just got traded. I think we've talked about that on the podcast before. This is a player where he's found some really nice chemistry with Antoine Morand, the Anaheim Ducks pick. And it'll be interesting to see what he does at the World Juniors. He was there for Russia last year, had a bit of a head/facial injury that kept him out of the end of the tournament. But he's adopted pretty well to North America, and I think we're just sort of seeing the best of German Rubtsov, and it'll be fun to see how many points he can put up on that Acadie Bathurst squad.
Wade Allison?
Yeah, Wade Allison's a fun one. This is a player I've tracked back to his USHL days. And playing for Western Michigan, he's a sophomore now. Had a really nice freshman year for Coach Andy Murray, and basically has continued on. He's a big, strong farm boy. Can really put up some nice points. I think he's the second leading scorer on the team. They got a kid, Colt Conrad, who's also doing very well. So fun one to watch. I don't think he's necessarily on Team Canada's radar. They tend not to go with a lot of NCAA guys, but for the Western Michigan Broncos, he's been really great.
Flyers have a couple of prospects over in Europe too, including their probably their top goaltending prospect, or maybe 1A along with Carter Hart and Felix Sandstrom.
Yeah, Felix Sandstrom, another player who has some World Junior experience with Sweden. He's actually going through some sort of stomach issue right now. It's not an injury. It seems like it's more of some sort of ailment. But when he has played, it's been good, and he's got great stats in the past. So you got him. It's funny, like, they have so many good goalies in the Flyers system. Kirill Ustamenko, who they drafted in 2017, he's playing very well right now in Russia's junior league. So that's another option. And then you also have Maciej Tomek in the USHL with Waterloo, who's playing quite nicely. Just so many options. And again, talking to Ron Hextall, he was saying with goaltenders, in a best case scenario, you're turning one pro per year, because you want to have creases for all these kids. And the fact that Sandstrom's in Europe and Ustamenko's in Europe, that kind of helps them because they're getting experience, in Sandstrom's case, against men. And I'm sure Ustamenko eventually is going to play against men in the KHL if there's a spot for him with St. Petersburg or another club if they trade him. That's kind of how you want to put everybody together if you have that opportunity.
That wraps up the 10th edition of the Prospect Podcast. It's hard to believe that 10 weeks have flown by already. Next week, we're going to be profiling, as we'd go reverse order, the Ottawa Senators, who have very possibly the number one prospect in all the world. Brian Costello, who runs our Future Watch edition, was saying it's looking good for Shabbat being number one there. Lots of hockey to play, but he's a good bet. For Ryan Kennedy, I'm Edward Fraser. Thanks for listening.